Another angry and unruly week in the life of the hung parliament has drawn to a close. Many observers, even some of the participants, say parliament has hit new lows when it comes to behavioural standards. Independent MP Rob Oakeshott told Breakfast yesterday that all the normal boundaries have now been removed and that parliament is scratching the bottom of the barrel. Health Minister Tanya Plibersek has said the level of vitriol, nastiness and personal attack is unprecedented. Trying to keep order in the House is the Deputy Speaker Anna Burke, who has the job while Peter Slipper is in the sin bin.
The Deputy Leader of the Opposition has now been reduced to hurling abuse. Nothing changes the facts of this matter. The Prime Minister is not being relevant, and this is not appropriate. The Leader of the Opposition on a point of order.
And the Deputy Leader of the Opposition is certainly not the one hurling abuse. The Prime Minister should withdraw that statement. The Leader of the Opposition will resume his seat.
Anna Burke wrangling MPs, including the Prime Minister, in question time yesterday. The Deputy Speaker joins us now. Anna Burke, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
Do you leave question time utterly exhausted after all that kind of carry-on?
Well, as someone explained it to me last night, Harry used to refer to it as you versus 149 people, and it does feel like that sometimes.
Yeah, it must feel like that sometimes, which is a change because for much of your time you've been one of the mob, not presiding over the mob.
Oh, look, a couple of times during the week I've thought, I'd like to hurl some abuse myself. I can't do that anymore, And you do. It's sort of in your DNA after 14 years of being in Parliament, My usual role in question time is, in the boondocks, heckling out where no one can hear me quite happily.
Well, just on that, in your 14 years, doing some of the heckling yourself, as you just readily admit, do you think parliamentary standards are very different today compared to other points over that 14 years?
Oh, look, there's been some highs and lows. I think the last couple of weeks, the intensity of them and the personal vitriol that I think you're hearing, I don't think I've heard over those 14 years, that ferocity that has gone on for the last 3 weeks I've been in the chair. Maybe I'm feeling it more because I'm in the chair. But at the same time, over 14 years, there's been some times where you've come out of question time thinking, gee, that was pretty brutal. But other times, that was a bit of fun. So it just depends, but the mood at the moment's just had that level of intensity that someone is out for something.
And that something, someone is out for something. I mean, the general theory is that it's the hung parliament, that both sides are out for power. Do you think this is a function of the hung parliament?
I think it's a little bit of the function of the hung parliament and some of the issues of the day. The carbon price is about to be introduced and there is this sort of fever pitch leading up to that on both sides of the divide, both sides of the chamber, where people are trying to get that message out before 1 July comes. There is the issue of the hung parliament. There is the issue of any moment now. I think that's been the difference with this parliament, that any moment now there could be an election, as opposed to we'll pace ourselves for 3 years. And generally, towards the end of each term, that's when the parliament becomes more boisterous because it is about grabbing the news that night, as opposed to most people paying no attention to question time.
So the any moment now, we've had fraught issues in the past. It was the political battle was quite pitched in over the introduction of the GST or over the issue of native title and many issues. You could name hundreds of them over the past. So the carbon tax, in a sense, no different to that. But the any moment now is the function of minority government, a hung parliament.
Exactly right. And I think there was an interesting piece in the paper during the week where it's not an unusual thing to have a minority government anywhere else in the world. It's very unusual in Australia. And people just can't quite get their heads around the dynamics. We've been sort of incredibly lucky to have majority governments over this length of time. It's not unusual. Everywhere else in the world, we've got collaborative working groups together. We're not used to that. And so we've come up with this other dynamic, which is this sort of continual fraught nature of the beast. It doesn't need to be, because the parliament's still actually working. Legislation's still going through. When I'm usually in the chair as the deputy speaker, most things are really quiet, tame. Everybody just gets on with doing their business.
Well, we saw a different kind and fairly dramatic intervention from you this week. Let's remind ourselves of that.
Having met with Greg Wilton's sister over the weekend, I'm a little sensitive, as many would appreciate, to any mention of my dead friend. And I will not have it thrown around this house as his family is feeling it significantly at the moment. and I will have no more.
We can hear a level of personal distress there in your voice. What prompted that comment from you, that intervention?
Well, I'm actually not going to traverse it. There were some things said, but and there'd been some things in the press previously about the individual in question, and every time you mention it, it's irrelevant to what's going on now.
Mm.
But anybody who's dealt with any suicide, it lingers. It never goes away, and that family is grieving. And I'm not going to add to their grief, and I don't want the Parliament to.
And so I understand the sensitivity around this, and Greg Wilton was a Labor MP, and he took his own life, and the Parliament honoured him back at that time. And what's being discussed at the moment is some tension around another MP and the tension he might be feeling. Is that kind of discussion, this notion of politicians under pressure and the impact of the process on them, is that what's distressing the Wilton family?
Well, mentions of the individual as opposed to mentions of suicide. He's been named, and I'm not going to go there, because every time he's named, they feel it, and it's got nothing to do with them. So people have drawn the parallel. You know, every time it was mentioned, you know, poor Nick Sherry felt the parallel. His family, Nick attempted but didn't take his own life, but an individual did. And there's, you know, it was many years ago. It's got nothing to do with now. The only people you hurt are his family who are still alive. Don't do it. Don't do it in the media. Don't do it in the Parliament. Don't do it. You know, any suicide, you know, it lingers. They're never getting over it. But it just heightens it. So I'm not going to mention, I'm not going to do, I think it's inappropriate.
Are you concerned about the pressure building on Craig Thompson?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's been relentless. I think it's been, you know, I think his words were enough is enough. 9 inquiries, that constant personal attack. Yeah, deal with the issue. And the difficulty with this issue is that when is the end in sight? I mean, no charges have been laid, no civil proceedings are before us, and it's just gone on and on and on and on and on.
In the Parliament on the day that proceeding that intervention by you, one comment hurled around the chamber that caused an uproar was "dead man." Now, everyone presumably understood that comment was thrown about in a political sense, but other people thought it was inappropriate, and inappropriate in the current discussion of the last week or two. Where do you draw the line in terms of comments thrown across the chamber?
Well, this is one of the interesting things that, you know, we got to, you know, farcical stages yesterday. You are ruled by the standing orders. You know, what's inappropriate? What's unparliamentary? Most of it's what's in the context and what do they mean by that? And the problem is people don't realise. They see it on the news, they hear it on the news, but I'm in the chair and there's this cacophony of noise.
Mm.
I might have actually heard that. I actually didn't hear the comment, you know. I don't hear the comment. I hear other bits and pieces hurled around you because you're listening at the talker, or you're actually looking at the gallery because there might be some kerfuffle going up there, or, you know, it's quite an interesting dynamic. So you don't hear it. But, yeah, there has to be a line drawn, and most of it is, well, is dead man or dead man walking, is that inappropriate? Well, might be in the context, or it might be funny at some other, you know, it depends, you know. Is it inappropriate to say, you know, things about individuals, but yes, at the moment, in the context, it probably is inappropriate.
So as the Speaker, that's your judgment, and you might rule this week that at this time, that comment is out of line.
Yeah, but the difficulty is then it goes down in the book as maybe, oh, that might, for future reference, be unparliamentary. So you are sort of a bit loath to sort of continually say, yeah, you've got to withdraw, or that's inappropriate, or take that back. But it 9 times out of 10... it's in the moment, you know, hypocrites, the word I was looking for before. You know, hypocrite, you know, is that unparliamentary? Might be in the context it was thrown about. Might not. So it is. You are sitting constant judgment. That is the thing. You walk out of question time, you know, fraught with, I have just been deciding for hours and hours and hours about minutia, about a word here and there.
It's 18 minutes to 8 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is the Deputy Speaker. She's in the Speaker's chair at the moment. Well, not this morning, but at the moment, while Peter Slipper is not, Anna Burke. Yes, you're deciding then and there. And there's been a lot of deciding going on at the moment. The Rob Oakeshott told us yesterday on Breakfast that all the normal boundaries have now been removed and Parliament scratching the bottom of the barrel, and we saw some other antics this week too. I mean, is that what you feel?
I'm not 100% sure it's got quite to that level. Maybe I've just been there longer and I'm a bit more jaded than Rob is. who knows? But, look, I think, you know, some level of civility has gone out of the place, and it certainly feels like that.
And is that a level of civility that's just gone out of the Parliament, or is the, I mean, this is the question, I suppose, commentators grapple with, is it the reflection of some of the anger and nastiness of the public debate? You know, there's been some horrible comments noted over the last year or two. One radio presenter describing the Prime Minister as vitriolic, bitter, lying, condescending. Bring back the guillotine, I'm glad people are angry, said another radio commentator. Are the politicians reflecting that kind of talk, or is it the other way around? Do you worry that the behaviour in the chamber is really unleashing some other kind of behaviour more generally?
I'm not sure if we're leaders or followers. I've never worked that out in the parliamentary sense, that, you know, politicians reflect the mood of the community because that's what we're there to do, to represent them, or the community picks it up. It's a really interesting question. Who began it, or who let it out of the, you know, who let the genie out of the bottle, so to speak? But the level of vitriol across the board has raised. I mean, certainly coming into the office, into the electorate office via email and phone calls, and, you know, my poor staff this week, you know, copying all the stuff during question time, people ringing in saying, oh, you know, the behaviours are terrible. That level of intensity and civility from constituents has gone up. You know, the nastiness in emails, the tone of them is certainly there in the media. Things that, you know, would be highly, you know, if I said to somebody some of the stuff that constituents write to me, you know, I'd be, oh, this woman's terrible, she's, you know, unkind and demeaning, and how dare she? But, you know, I cop it day in, day out.
You have got the job now because this, the Speaker, Peter Slipper, has stood aside for a time. If the job comes up and you're offered it, would you take it after what you've seen and witnessed in recent weeks?
Peter Slipper's got the job.
You wouldn't want it?
Peter Slipper's got the job.
Anna Burke, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Fran.
Anna Burke is the Deputy Speaker of the Federal Parliament. It's 7:45 on Breakfast.